Let's look now more closely at the process of learning from our mistakes. For all of mankind, no matter where one is on the path, spiritual advancement comes from improving one's behavior. Said another way, it comes from learning from one's mistakes. Unfortunately, this process is often inhibited by the idea that somehow we are not supposed to make mistakes. We grow up being scolded for our mistakes by our parents. Some teachers ridicule students when they make mistakes. Supervisors at work yell at others when they make a mistake. No wonder many adults feel terrible when they make a mistake. Therefore, to spiritually benefit from our mistakes, we need a new attitude toward them. Gurudeva described mistakes as wonderful opportunities to learn. He also compared learning from the experiences of life to progressing through the classes at a university. To quote Gurudeva, life is a series of experiences, one after another. Each experience can be looked at as a classroom in the big university of life if we only approach it in that way. Who is going to these classrooms? Who is a member of this university of life? It is not your instinctive mind. It is not your intellectual mind. It's the body of your soul, your superconscious self, that wonderful body of light. It's maturing under the stress and strain. End of quote. Those who are parents can teach their children that making mistakes is not bad. Everyone makes mistakes. It is natural and simply shows we do not understand something. Mistakes are wonderful opportunities to learn. The story I give to try and impress the point is of a young family. The wife is at home taking care of the five-year-old, and the five-year-old makes some horrendous mistake and almost burns the house down. So the wife calls up the husband and says, "Dear, you will be so happy to hear this news. Our son made this huge mistake today. He almost burned the house down. Isn't this wonderful? He has such a wonderful opportunity to learn such an important lesson, and I wanted you to think about it on your way home. What lesson do we need to teach him so he does not make this mistake again?" Of course, you all get the point, which is that unfortunately most parents don't think that way. Usually it is just a question of punishment. But punishment misses the point if it does not go along with the teaching so that you are helping the child learn how not to repeat the mistake. Helping to awake jnana shakti. Helping to awaken jnana shakti. Quite often punishment is all that happens, but the important point is the child does not know something. Otherwise he never would have made the mistake in the first place. There is some knowledge the child is missing, and the parents need to figure out what that knowledge is. It is fine to punish the child with positive discipline methods such as timeout and appropriate natural and logical consequences, and using reason without blame and shame. However, it is good to avoid the use of physical violence, anger, irrational punishments, blame and shame, as they all cause the child's consciousness to drop into intense fear, and therefore make it very difficult for the child to remember what he or she is told. This, of course, is counterproductive to the child learning from the experience, and therefore not making the experience again. Moving on, we have four reactions to making a mistake. A common first reaction to having made a mistake is to become upset that we made the mistake, get emotional about it, or if it is a serious mistake, to become quite burdened and even depressed. That is a natural first reaction. But if it is our only reaction, it is not enough. We need to deal with the emotional reaction to the action and move on to the learning stage. Thus, a good second reaction to a mistake is to think clearly about what happened and why the mistake occurred, and find a way to not repeat the mistake in the future. Perhaps we were not being careful enough, and resolving to be more careful next time will prevent the problem from occurring. Perhaps we did not know something, And now we have that knowledge and can simply resolve to use that knowledge next time. Perhaps we created unintended consequences that caused significant problems to us or others that we did not foresee. Now that we are aware of the consequences, we certainly won't repeat the action. Those who are striving to live a spiritual life are self-reflective and learn quickly from their mistakes. In fact, one way to tell a young soul from an old soul is to observe how quickly he learns not to repeat the same mistake. The worship of Lord Murugan can be quite helpful in giving us the wisdom that helps us learn from a mistake quickly. The fewer times we make the same mistake, the faster we are moving forward spiritually. We can go to the temple and pray to Lord Murugan to help us understand the pattern of desire and action we are experiencing, and ask for his veil of wisdom to help us see clearly how to learn from this cycle of experiences and move forward on the spiritual path. Quite often I get an email in from someone who made a mistake, and they are saying, "Oh, I should have not done this." Of course, that is just getting stuck at the first level of reaction. "I shouldn't have done it. I am sorry." But I encourage them to move on to the second level, and instead of saying, "I shouldn't have done it," to say, "I shouldn't do it again." That is the point we are striving for. Not to simply feel sorry that we made a mistake, but to commit to not making it again, or at least trying not to make it again. Taking that step is being self-reflective, and it is how we progress on the spiritual path. Because the spiritual path is a series of experiences, and sometimes we make mistakes, if we can learn from those mistakes and learn to not make them again, then we progress. If we are constantly making the same mistake over and over and over again, we are not progressing. A third reaction may be needed if the mistake involved other people. Perhaps we have hurt their feelings or created a strain between us. A direct apology can fix this if we know them well. However, in many situations, we are not close enough to the individual to be able to apologize. In that case, a generous act toward them can adjust the flow of feelings back into a harmonious condition. For example, hold a small dinner party and include them among the guests. A fourth reaction may be needed if the mistake is a major misdeed. For example, if we did something that was dishonest. In this case, even though we have resolved to not repeat the misdeed, apologize to those involved, we may well still feel bad about having done it. In this case, we need to perform some form of penance, prayaschitta, to rid ourselves of the sense of feeling bad about ourselves. Typical forms of penance are to fast, perform 108 prostrations before the deity, or walking prostrations up a sacred path or around the temple. The worship of Lord Murugan during the Thai Pusam festival is the traditional time for performing penance to atone for misdeeds. Carrying kavadi and other forms of penance should never be done for the purpose of impressing others. Rather, it should be done having in mind specific misdeeds you are atoning for, as well as promising to Lord Murugan not to repeat them again. One of the themes of this talk is that Lord Murugan is traditionally worshipped to invoke the forces of divinity to overcome the forces of darkness. And the process of atoning for misdeeds is an excellent example of this. Gurudeva describes this process from a mystical point of view. Quote, "When we perform penance and beseech Murugan's blessing, this merciful God hurls his veil into the astral plane, piercing discordant sounds, colors, and shapes, removing the mind's darkness." Let me conclude with another quote from Gurudeva, which provides an excellent summary of the power of Lord Murugan's veil of wisdom. Quote, "The Shakti power of the veil the eminent, intricate power of righteousness over wrongdoing conquers confusion within the realms below. The holy veil that when thrown always hits its mark and of itself returns to Kartikeya's mighty hand rewards us when righteousness prevails and becomes the Kundalini serpent's unleashed power, thwarting our every effort with punishing remorse when we transgress Dharma's law. Thus, the holy veil is our release from ignorance into knowledge, our release from vanity into modesty, our release from sinfulness into purity through tapas. Om Namah Shivaya.